Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone. Friday afternoon. How are we doing? It's the Teddy Bear, and welcome to LOTL Radio, The Zone. My goodness, so many things to get into, and I want to send out a very special thank you to all the many listeners and supporters out there, and we are streaming live, but to get on to bigger and better things, it's legendary, yes, legendary, singer, songwriter, musician, you name it, the one and only Mr. Chris Jasper is blessing us with his presence today as we have the pleasure of debuting his new single, The Love That You Give, from his upcoming 15th solo album, Dance With You. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and The Zone, it is my pleasure to welcome to The Zone one more time the legendary Mr. Chris Jasper. Chris, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, great, great. Thank you.
It's been a minute, but you've been working diligently, man. I'm impressed.
Yeah, you know, I always, you know, seem to come up with ideas, and when I do, you know, I have to record them. So that's what I've been doing, finishing off this album.
You know, we have a tendency to be somewhat greedy, and I'm anticipating a fantastic project. Can you give us a little bit more insight on what we should expect from the upcoming album?
If you remember the album The One, you know, which had funk on it, ballads, you know, this is kind of, you know, like that one in that way. But the, you know, the songs, of course, are different. But, you know, those power ballads and the some heavy funk on here, too. So I guess, you know, I'll be finished, you know, in a few weeks from now. But I'm really anxious, you know, to put it out, too.
Well, we're highly anticipating the new album. I wanted to ask you, you've seen so many things change over the years as far as how music has changed, how the industry has changed overall. And I know by you being also being an attorney, and I wanted to ask you to, as far as give your input and your impression as far as when you started, how many major record labels there were, and where we're right now, where there's a handful, and how important is it for a new artist thinking about getting involved in industry that they truly understand the business aspect of the industry?
Yeah, well, when I first started off, there was a lot of different record labels. Many of them were independents, you know, and you had so much creativity flowing from that kind of situation. And I find now that, you know, there's a handful, like you said, there's a handful of record labels, majors, and they're sort of dominating, you know, what you hear on the radio. And you don't get that creative variety anymore, you know. There was so many different great songs and artists that came from independent labels. I would like to see that, you know, happen again, because right now it seems pretty stagnant as far as creativity is concerned. And I'd like to see that improve.
Do you think that that has a lot to do with the lack of artist development, the way it used to be as far as the labels used to put an emphasis on that?
Yeah, the emphasis was on the music, you know, and record labels, you know, they would take time to either find material for the artist, you know, that was marketable, or, you know, work with that artist if they were writers to get the best out of them, you know, maybe pair them with, you know, some other people to collaborate. There was a focus on creativity back then. Now it's more like a numbers game, you know, and can you market this artist? And creativity is not the most important thing anymore, unfortunately, and I think that's what you're seeing.
You know, what I've seen over the years, well, especially when you started out, you had to go to the studio, physically get up and go to the studio and try to create something that was magical. And now things have changed so dramatically where you have most musicians like yourself, they've incorporated their own studio in their home. And I wanted to ask you, does that, having a studio in your home, does that provide you with a better outlet as far as creativity, as far as songwriting and being able just to create overall, putting you in a better mind space? Because we used to talk about all the time as far as having that kind of peace of mind. Does it help you creativity as far as the creative aspect of your music?
It does, because you know, before, like you said, you know, I had to wait, you know, to schedule studio time, and you know, get all the musicians together and everything. Now, I can just, you know, go downstairs if I have an idea, you know, lay down the track, lay down the basic tracks, you know, reflect on it, you know, come back to it. It helps me as a writer to have my own facility, because you know, sometimes I'll have an idea like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know,
right.
And I could just go right down there and put it down. Before, I'd have to wait, you know, before I could start working on something. So as a writer and as a performer, it's much better to have your own place.
Without question. One of the things I've always loved about the creative aspect as far as being a musician is that when you do something in the creative process, when you're doing something that's raw, because we have so many, quote unquote, I like to say bells and whistles now. We're looking for this that can make this sound, and it takes away from the true musicianship. And I know that you are a classically trained musician, and I wanted to ask you, from songwriting and structure and melody, what comes first for Chris Jasper in the creative process of making music?
Well, generally what comes first with me is a chord progression.
Okay.
The, you know, just a raw, nice chord progression that generally when I'm making that chord progression, a melody is kind of coming to me at the same time. So that's where most of my songs start. Now, other times, you know, like there's a song on this album called It's a Miracle.
Okay.
Which has a spiritual message to it. That came to me in a dream, you know. I was in a dream, and I was humming that melody in a dream. And I woke up and, you know, started working on it, you know. So it comes in a lot of different ways, but generally the chord structure, the melody, and then, you know, if I have part of a hook lyric-wise, I'll work on the lyrics and work it out from there. But that's generally how they come. The ideas come.
Okay. You know, I've had the pleasure of having you on the show several times, and I really, truly appreciate you always taking the time to bless us with your presence. And one of the things that I've never really got a chance to ask you over the several times you've been on, I said, you know what, when I get Chris on, I want to ask you, do you ever feel at any time that, and I'm just saying for me, because I've always felt that you've never really got the recognition that you have so richly deserved as far as being the major songwriter during the time with the Isley Brothers. And I've always wanted to express that to you, but I never had an opportunity. So I said, I'm going to take the opportunity to do that now. Do you feel that way at any time during your career? You say, you know, I don't feel I really never got the I guess, the respect that I richly deserve as far as being a main, the main, as far as a main writer for that signature sound for the Isley Brothers during your time with them?
Yeah, well, yeah, I do feel that way sometimes. I think about it, but it doesn't bother me. But I have thought about it, and it just so happens that people now that, you know, I'm on social media a lot, and they are able to, you know, hear my songs that I'm doing now, it's becoming more and more apparent, you know, musically. Because they all say the same thing, you know, that's the sound, you know, you got the sound, you know, the Isley Brothers wouldn't have been, you know, what they are without you, you know. So people are starting to see it, you know. I don't have to say it much anymore, you know, because you'll hear it in this new single, you know, and in all the records that I've done since I left IJI. You know, it's just something that I can't change who I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's in
right.
the music. So people are discovering that over the years since I've gone solo. Now, you know, it hasn't been like broadcast anywhere, but a lot of the fans do realize that. You know, and they let me know, and I feel good about that because the music is the only thing I was concerned about in the first place.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I only wanted to do good music and record good music and, you know, hopefully people would like it. So that was my perspective all along. So as long as they like my music, you know, I'm happy.
You know, because I had a discussion a while back, actually a couple of years ago, with a colleague of mine. And I remember the first time we had an opportunity when you were on the show and we had played Keep Believing. And mm-hmm. I had to dig in my crates and go back to the Isley Brothers, Go For Your Guns album. I said, my God. I said, okay. And I'm listening to the song and I said, that's the Isley Brothers. I said, that mm-hmm. sound is a signature of the Isley Brothers. And I said, I never got an opportunity to ask you or really express that to you, but I'm so pleased now that people are finally recognizing as far as what kind of major contribution and the input that you had in the Isley mm-hmm. Brothers legacy. And I'm so amped as far as hearing this new album. I mean, I'm really waiting for the new album because the last one you put out was incredible, but I know you're a stickler, you're a perfectionist. So you're always on the creative process. You always try to outdo what you did before. If you had to rate to two, where do you see the difference between the upcoming album, or compare the two? What would you see as far as the major difference between the new album, Dance With You, and the last one that you just blessed us with? What would be the two different differences between the two projects?
Well, share with me, you know, that was really a good project. So was the one.
Right.
But it's kind of hard to compare music that you do yourself. You know what I mean? It's hard to analyze yourself. But I can say this. I've tried some new things, you know, vocally and instrumentally. And I'm always trying to do that, you know, like improve on what I've done. I always kind of look back and say, okay, how does this measure up? And I think I measured up pretty good. There's some surprises on this. Like there's a classic song that's, you know, like a classic pop song that I redid. By Aerosmith. Aerosmith made it famous. And it's, I put it my own style on it, you know, just like I did with You're Also Beautiful or Summer Breeze or Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight, you know. I kind of like that kind of challenge, you know, to take something that people know, you know, like Summer Breeze was a big hit, and to take that song and do another arrangement to it, you know. I like to be challenged in that way. And my wife said, you know, what, you know, I like the song, you know, this song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing, you know, by Aerosmith. She said that's the lyrics to it are really beautiful, you know. And she kept saying it, you know, to me over a few days. And then I finally said, okay, well, let me give it a, you know, listen and see if there is something I can do with it. And I'm starting to complete that now. And that's, I'm very excited about that because I did it, you know, I did it a way that I'm really, really happy with. You know what I mean? It's like soulful, you know. They kind of did it a rock way. They kind of did it kind of a rock pop way.
Right.
I brought it down to the soul, you know what I mean? And so it's, I'm loving the fact that I did it that way, you know what I mean? And I hope people can grab onto it, you know.
Well, I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a fantastic album. Now, the single, the slice of cheesecake that you brought to us, the love that you give, what state of mind, or should I say, what frame of mind were you in as far as the creative process for this new single?
Well, again, you know, musically, you know, I wanted to do something that was kind of signature and kind of classic R&B, you know, sound wise. But then, you know, lyrically, you know, I wanted to, as I always do with love songs, you know, make them about true love and that spiritual connection that you have with someone, you know, and like giving 100%, you know, a lot of people say 50-50, no, but 100-100, you know,
right.
that kind of love that is true and lasting, you know, and lyrically that's what it's about, you know, the love that you give to me. And I want to give you more than even I receive, you know. So it's that beautiful love connection that I was thinking about, you know. And, of course, I have one, you know. I've been married to Margie for, like, 35, going on 36 years. So, you know, it's kind of coming from my heart, too.
At this particular point in time in your life, could you – they've always said everyone has a soulmate. Could you ever imagine your life without Margie? As far as the type of influence and the calmness that she's brought to you?
No, I can't imagine what I was doing before her. You know, I really can't. I know I was doing something, but I don't know what it was. You know, it's like, you know, kind of empty, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's she's brought a lot, you know, as far as, you know, peace of mind and love and sharing and, you know, everything that you hear about love, you know, and that's the biggest, one of the biggest blessings I've had, you know, and I do want to express that in my music, you know, that it's possible, you know, that you can find, you know, your soulmate, you know, someone that you truly love and truly loves you, you know.
Now, I must ask, I got to ask Chris on this new album, did Michael have any input on this at all?
Oh, yeah, Michael always does. You know, how I start off a track is, okay. You know, I'll have a certain rhythm in mind, you know, as far as what the drums to do. And then what I do is I'll give him the basic thing, and then he'll just, you know, work with it, you know, and add, you know, nice nuances and rhythmic feels and stuff in there. And that's how I start the track, is from a rhythmic standpoint. And, of course, you know, the chords too. But that's how I usually lay down my track, is rhythm and some kind of keyboard part, you know, and then I build on it from there. And, you know, he does a lot of you know, the rhythm tracks, you know, which is really cool.
For me, being a parent, being a father, and having a teenage son that's getting ready to graduate from high school, it gives me a lot of time to reflect on how blessed I am to have someone that you see that you helped nurture and grow into something that you can be truly proud of. Your family means everything to you, but I know your sons hold a very special part of you. And I wanted to ask you, not as a musician, but just as a father, what has it meant to you to sit back and see all of your sons do so wonderfully well and just assist you in so many different aspects of your life, musically and just growing together as a family?
I mean, it's awesome, you know. Like I just mentioned, Michael, he's getting ready to graduate law school in May, you know, and I've seen him grow into this really, really bright, you know, intelligent man, you know. And it's one of the greatest things in the world, you know. And to be able to work together, that's incredible. I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, I don't know if words could express how great that is.
You know, all of your songs, especially over the last couple of years, have been very socially conscious. And I know you had an opportunity to sit back and see the things that are taking place in today's society. And I wanted your input as far as how music can change people's process and bring people together, because when songs were coming out like The Caravan of Love, it meant so much because it expressed and it talked about unity. And at a particular time in our society, it showed that we had some kind of unity. And what we're seeing right now, we're seeing a very disparaging makeup in this country where things are trying to be turned back to the 1940s and 1950s. And I wanted to ask you, how music can heal people? What can music do to bring everyone together from your perspective?
As you mentioned, Caravan of Love, from that song up to this date, that's what I've been trying to do, is bring God's perspective into music. And all of my love songs, all the other things that I write from God's perspective, his principles. You know, the love songs are about, you know, lasting marriage, you know. And that's one thing that's in the Bible, you know, true love. When I talk about any message in there, like Caravan of Love, it's talking about people coming together like God wants us to. I'm trying to, you know, steer people back to God, you know, through my lyrics. Even Keep Believing, the song you mentioned, that was you know, biblically based in a way, because we must have faith. You know, we have to keep believing in what's right, you know. And all the other gospel songs that I've written, you know, it's a miracle. It's about, you know, Christ and the things that he's done. And for us to reflect on that, you know, we must return to God, you know. And, you know, everything I write is trying to show how to live in this world, but also follow God, you know. I think that's an important thing to be said, that you can be a Christian, you can follow the Lord and be in this world and do all right, you know, and do okay. So that's what I've been trying to do. I believe that's one of my missions, is to have people return to God, look for his principles. I told my brother, he's a minister, he's a bishop in Cincinnati, the other day, and I said, you know, Steve, you know, all the trouble that's going on, my answer might sound simple, but if everyone would just live by God's principles, we wouldn't have any more problems. It's just that simple. And everybody's looking for all of these complicated, you know, solutions, when God has already given us the solution in his word, how to live, how to respect, how to love one another. You know, he's given us the answer. The question is, are we looking? Are we looking to him, you know, for guidance? What does he say about different issues? You know what I mean? And it's like, if we would do that, we would have a wonderful place. We would have a wonderful world, you know. But as a society and as a world, we tend to resist God. We tend to say, oh, well, let's put that over, put God over to the side. You know, let me use my intellect, you know, to solve this problem. Well, the Bible addresses that too. It says, rely not on your own understanding. Rely on God. You see, he's already given us the answer. He's always already given us the way to have a beautiful and wonderful life. That it's like, you know, he said, I wish that you would choose life. That's what God said. And he wants us to choose him. He's not forcing us, but he wants us to choose him. And if we would do that, it sounds like a simple answer, but it is the answer.
I mean, I agree. It for me, I just find it so disheartening that we have people out there that they have managed to use the word and use the Bible and twist it in all different kinds of directions, like a Rubik's cube, and use it in a very demonstrative manner to their own, I would have to use the term, wicked purposes. And it's really unfortunate. And I mean, seeing the things that are taking place, that's why when I listen to your music, and like you said, everything is based around spirituality and getting people closer to God. And you said it's simple, but you said everybody just spends so much time trying to solve and try to, it's just very simplistic. But you know, the blueprint is there, but unfortunately, a lot of people refuse to follow the blueprint. It's easier to do things that are bad, and it's much more challenging to try to do the right thing. And I'm seeing that more as time goes on. But I gotta ask, now the new album coming out, of course, Dance With You, how many tracks can we expect from the new album?
There will be at least 10. I haven't come to that decision yet, but
okay.
It'll be at least 10 tracks. I don't like to do less than that, because I guess, you know, just historically, I've always done at least 10, but there could be more. But I, right now, I would say at least 10.
Absolutely. Being an independent artist, it can be very challenging. But I think for me personally, just seeing the things that are taking place, I think it's great to be an independent artist because you have complete creative control over your music. And the way social media is set up right now, from a monetary standpoint, you can make money if you're very diligent about what you're doing, because at the end of the day, it's a business. I wanted that because I know that you have your own production company. You have your own label. If you had one of the few major record labels right now approach you and say, you know what, we would like to sign you, would you do it?
I would have to think about that a lot, because labels right now are they're doing the same thing that the independents are doing, and that's struggling, you know, to try to deal with the changes that in this industry, you know. And for the most part, they don't want to give up too much, you know. They want to take as much as they can take.
Right.
And, you know, I understand that, but at the same time, I don't want to be a person that gets taken, you know. I want to set my own course, you know. So I probably wouldn't do it unless it was some extraordinary circumstance, you know. It would have to be extraordinary because, like I said, their deals, you know, I would not sign a deal today as a new artist unless I had a great attorney and someone who could, you know, kind of craft the things that I wanted to in that deal, you know, because they like they want to take everything. The labels want to take everything. And so I couldn't do that.
I find it interesting that you say that, because I've sat back and I've seen so many successful artists or successful groups who have sold certain amount of units and they have nothing to show for it because they didn't understand the business aspect of the industry. So how do you sell this many units and you're broke? And then you look, wait a minute, the record label is no more than it's no more than a bank. They're lending you money for studio time, production, everything, and you have to pay that money back because they're looking to recoup the money back.
Right.
And once you get out and you get that sophomore project, and if it doesn't equal or even more being more successful than the first project, they'll drop you off the label really quick. I mean, at the drop of a dime, it's incredible. It's really incredible to me. Now, you're at home. You're making all this wonderful music. Chris, I got to ask, when I've been waiting, and I've had you on the show about maybe 8 times over the last 6 years, when are you going to get out and perform? I got to know. Do I need to come to New York? I'll get on a plane if I got to get a camera.
people have been asking me that, I would like to do it, but it has to be a situation where it makes sense for me,
Okay.
I just can't go out there and perform because I'll end up, spending my own money and, costing me money to perform, it has to be the right situation. And up to now, I haven't had the right situation come along, but that's something that I would like to do. Because a lot of artists, they go out there, they perform, and they make a few bucks sometimes, but sometimes they don't. because all expenses. It's expensive to be out there on the road. So it's gotta be the right situation where it makes sense to me. Like I said, I've been out there, I've been around a long time. I know what goes on. I know the cost of being on the road. If you're gonna do it right. You know what I mean? And right now, I haven't had the right proposal yet. But I would like to do it. You know what I mean? That's the only thing. I haven't had someone come along and say, hey, look, let's do this. Let's do it this way. And it makes sense, financially. Because that's another thing about me. things have to make sense. You know what I mean? You just can't come to me and say, hey, man, let me hang your name up and let's go out and do a gig. I'm going to say, hold it. Let's sit down and talk about this. What's the bottom line? You know what I mean? See, a lot of artists don't do that. That's why they don't make any money.
Right.
They don't sit down and count the costs. That's another thing the Bible tells us, Count the costs. What is it going to cost you? You go out there, all right, what's your expenses? What's the hotel bill? What is the travel expenses going to be? Who's going to be your roadies? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? You know what I mean? What musicians are you going to carry with you? All of those things cost money, And if you're not doing, tracking dates, a live performance can cost a lot of money. Now, tracking dates are totally different. You can go out there, you can do a track date. You don't have to carry a whole big entourage with you, or a lot of roadies or musicians with you. But if you're going to do a live show, with the band, like that's what I like to do, that costs a little more, It's business, And that's one reason. But the other reason is I have been doing a heck of a lot of recording, and I've been working on a music score with my son, too. With this film that he's written a script for a film. So I've been doing a lot of recording and the score is like a different type of music, but it's right up my alley because I study classical music and, if you've seen like Jurassic Park and those kind of films, the score, the music, is along those lines, it takes a little time to do, but we work together on it, and we're making a lot of progress with it. So we're trying to push that right now to get a studio to do this film.
Well,
you know, it may take a while.
No,
it may take a while, but you know, we're working on it.
It's interesting that you just said that, because there is a lot of money, monetary, to be made doing soundtracks for movies. Danny Elfman, if most people are not familiar who Danny Elfman is, he's the founder of a group called Oingo Boingo. And he has been doing movie soundtracks, I guess, for the last 15, maybe 20 years. And I mean, it's major money to be made when you're doing these motion picture soundtracks. But you know, as I said, I want what I want. I'm dating myself, but I'm okay with that. I'm like, it's been some years since I've seen you perform.
Yeah.
And I'm saying,
yeah, it's been a while. I think the last thing I did, you know, live, you know, with the band, I think it was a gospel date in Virginia. And I really enjoyed doing that, because I got to work with one of my friends from college, you know, Everett Collins. He played with the band, you know. And, you know, Everett, he was my music director, and we had a good time. You know, it was really good. You know, people really, really knew the music, you know. It was great. I did most of the music I did was some new songs, too, from my gospel albums. I did Caravan of Love, of course, at the end, but... it was really a good experience.
Okay. Would you be open, and I'm knocking on wood, I pray on it all the time, and I'm being very serious about this. Would you be, I don't want to use the term open, would you be receptive if, out of the clear blue, say if Ernie gave you a call and he said, you know what, I want you to work with me and Ron. We want to put a concert together and we want to go out on some dates. Would you be receptive to doing that, or is that something that you really would really have to mull over and really think about?
Yeah, I'd have to think about that, you know, only because, you know, of what, you know, the history is between us, you know. My first question would be why, you know, that was the first question that would come to my mind, because, up to now, you know, they haven't expressed interest in doing that at all. And, you know, I've been working on my projects, and, you know, everything's been cool. So, if they said that would be the first question I would ask them. You know, why under the circumstances that you have laid, you know, do you want me to perform with you? You know? Because they, you know, especially Ronald, he seems to want to be by himself, you know. So I would be very surprised at that, you know.
Why? And I've asked you this before, and I'm gonna ask you again. Why is it that, I'm not gonna say all, but why is it that some people find it so challenging to be humble?
I don't know. I've had that question asked of me, and every time I see celebrities, you know, with their heads all up in the air and, you know, acting all crazy, I ask the same question: why? You know, because you have to come back and be yourself at some point. You know what I mean? You have to live with yourself, and I don't understand why people are so, you know, egotistical and I don't understand that at all. I never understood it. You know, in our heyday, you know, when we were like out there doing everything, you know, I never understood when people would get like so into themselves and think they're so important, you know. It's like the Bible tells us, you're not as important as you think you are. You know, humble yourself, you know. I don't know why they can't do it. I don't know.
I've had a lot of people tell me, they've said, you know what, man, he said, you really hung up on this. I said, yeah. I said, you know, you sit up here and you grow up listening to music and artists that you truly have love for, because they played a very important part, a pivotal part in your growing up. And you just see things that transpire, and you kind of sit back and say, this doesn't make any sense. And I had the same conversation with Thomas McQuarrie of the Commodores. I said, I don't get it. I said, at the end of the day, the Commodores are a brand. Why is it so difficult and so challenging? You all started out as friends. You all started out as brothers. What is the issue? What is the problem? And it always comes back, as Thomas, we've talked about, egos. It's like, it's incredible to me how an ego can be so disruptive and so destructive. And as you said before, pride.
Yeah.
That thing called pride. That thing called, that destructive thing we call pride.
Hey, I wrote that song. I wrote that song, yeah. The Pride.
Yeah.
You know, it gets you every time. Time that, you know what I mean? And that's the first thing. If you read the Bible, that's the first thing that God hates. Is a proud look.
Yeah.
That's the number one. There's seven things, but the pride is number one. See, because it takes you away from him. It takes you away from where you should be, you know, spiritually. We all, you know, should be connected to God. But pride takes you away. You see, it makes you start thinking about yourself, you know, as more important. And that's, you know, that's a bad thing. When I see it, you know, I say, wow, I don't understand this, you know, because we're all in this together. You know what I mean? And that's what I believed when we were in the group. I believed that, you know, I believed that everybody thought like I did, you know, was willing to give 100%, was willing to, you know, work hard, you know, sleepless nights, you know, but as we grew, you know, as the group went on, I found out, hey, they don't think like I do, you know? They don't care like I do, you know? And that kind of broke my heart, you know? Because to see that, to see it and be, you know, it be in your family too, you know what I mean? It's like,
it's
like, I don't even know how to say how that affected me, because that wasn't the way I thought it was. And I thought they thought the same way I did. But they didn't. So I had to accept it and went on, you know. So it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to see up close. And when you see it, man, it's like you don't want it anymore, you know.
Right.
And people don't understand that, you know, because they see it from the outside looking in. But from the inside, it didn't look too nice.
Well, I mean, like you're expressing, I totally agree. I mean, nothing can replace having peace of mind. When you have peace of mind and not dealing with a bunch of unnecessary foolishness, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's right, man. It's nothing like that, man. Have that peace of mind, and whew, it's nothing like it. It really isn't. Yeah, I wrote a peace of mind in one of my songs. I can't think of it right now, but you know, there's nothing like having that. You know, and you know, of course, you know, my spiritual journey, you know, has helped that too. You know, with God, you know, I don't think I could have the same peace of mind without that either. So it's great, man, you know, to get up and understand that, hey, today is going to be another great day.
You know?
Yeah. That's incredible, you know. And peace of mind, it's not how much you have. It's not anything like that, like money or anything. It's just I can do what I want to do. You know, I have peace of mind. I can do my own thing, you know. And that's what I Keep Believing is kind of about. Being your own man, you know, doing your own thing. That's what James Brown talked about in I'm Black and I'm Proud. You know, we demand a chance to do things for ourselves. We're tired of beating our heads against the wall and working for someone else. Say it loud. You know, I don't know if people remember that lyric, you know, but that's what he was talking about. Having your own destiny, you know, declaring your own destiny, having your own peace of mind, do your own thing, you know. And we kind of gotten away from that. I don't know why, but we kind of got away from that as a goal. You know, Maybe you might not start out that way, right? And hardly nobody does. But as a goal, that should be your goal, is to control your own destiny. And that's what James Brown was talking about. Because, you know, up to that point, nobody had said that, you know? Especially, you know, pertaining to you know, the black condition, you know, the black society, you know, black people and their condition. Nobody even addressed it that way in a song, you know. And so that's something, you know, that peace of mind is incredible, man. And like I said, it doesn't matter how much you have, because you're always going to have your spiritual makeup. You know, that's never going to leave, no matter if you're, you know, you have $1 billion or you're struggling. It doesn't matter. But if you have peace of mind, peace of mind makes the struggle better and easier.
Oh, without question.
You know what I mean? It makes you struggle. You don't mind struggling if you have peace of mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so what? It's kind of hard. But if nobody's, you know, hassling me, nobody's bothering me, you know what I mean? I can maintain myself in the struggle. You know, even being an independent label is a struggle, man. You have to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't sit back, you know, like, you know, and let somebody else do it anymore. You got to do it. You know, you got to do the promotion. You got to do everything. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's a struggle, but it's a good struggle. Because you have peace of mind, man. You don't have any people, you know, like, on your back and, you know, trying to tell you what to do. And, you know, it's a good struggle.
It's a big, big difference because, as you said, when you have that kind of peace of mind, it brings a lot more clarity, a lot more.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. A lot of clarity. You say, you know, no matter what I'm going through, I have that level of clarity where I can sit up and work things out. But when I'm surrounded by a bunch of noise and nonsense,
yeah,
and silliness and negativity, and it just the devil thrives off of that.
Stress, man. Stress free. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a struggle, but it's stress free. That's the difference.
It's
you
a
know?
Big, big difference. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
My goodness. But again, family, for those who are tuning in late, shame on you. But again, the teddy bear does forgive you. We're being joined today by the legendary Mr. Chris Jasper as we get ready to get into, single. Yeah, we're being patient with his new hit single, of course, from his 15th solo album, Dance With You, with a new hit single, of course, The Love That You Give, here in the zone of LOTL Radio.
Gold. I'm living for
the love that
much more than I receive is what I pledge to you. I'm living for
the love that you give to me.
The love you give to me, girl. You give to me. I wanna give you more. So much more than I receive. Oh, yes, I do, girl. Words could never express all of the things that I, oh, that I feel for you, girl. The only thing that I can do is to show you.
Just a little bit more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com. And to get all the latest updates, be sure to stop by Chris and his various social media websites at ChrisJasper.com, also on GoldCityMusic.com and on Facebook.com/GoldCityMusic. And be on the lookout, around summertime for the new album, of course, Dance With You. Chris, it is always an honor, pleasure for me to have you on the show. You know, this is your home away from home. Whatever you need, we support you. I'm just waiting for that album to come out so we can play it in its entirety.
All right. Yeah. I'm anxious to have it come out, too, because, like I said, I did some different things on here, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, I'm equally yoked about it. Man, thank you so much. Continued success, and please, my utmost respect to your wife, and tell Michael I said, what's up?
All right, I will.
All right, man. Take it easy, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. God Bye-bye. Bless. The legendary Mr. Chris Jasper here in the zone of LOTO Radio. Got to take a little quick 2 and 2. We got to pay some bills, but let the teddy bear thrill you with some super sounds from Chris Jasper with Caravan of Love with Isley, Jasper Isley, here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
She wants to be